Again, the Mass this morning is for Mary Crowley. That's Mary Lou Hainsworth's mother, who died a month ago. You see the life of Christ in the Church, and directed by the Holy Spirit. Luke has this very interesting technique, I guess. He tells us what happened. And then, because it's so important, and he wants us to hear it all over again, he tells us the account of it that Peter gives. Or when it comes to Paul, he tells us Paul's conversion. And then twice more in the book of Acts, Paul tells that conversion. These are turning points in the life, the eternal life as well, of the Church. So he wants us to get it. And so this is why he does that. Peter, you know, he went and did what the Lord told him. And the Jewish believers were, doesn't make, you know, we're so unaccustomed to having customs and beliefs. It's enough to get us to Mass on Sunday, but we don't really, you know, that's part of, we don't have a culture, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And faith, which does not become a culture, runs the risk of being not fully received, completely thought through, or thoroughly embraced. So you don't eat with Gentiles. And so we heard you went and ate with that fellow Cornelius and his household. Peter says, let me tell you what happened. And you heard the story. That's the Lord, the Holy Spirit, directing the Church. It is time now for the Church to become what it had always been planned to be by God the Father. That is the source of salvation for the whole world. And so it has to be opened up and enlivened and empowered and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And you think now, 2 millennia later, the thousands of saints, their zeal for this, the thousands of saints, the ones who took care of the poor, the ones who went to other lands to preach the gospel, the ones who spent their whole life in prayer, you see? And so so Peter tells the story. And you notice he ends with this text, okay? I recall, he said, and I remembered when all this is happening and the Holy Spirit is falling on them as he fell on us, I remembered what the Lord said. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a living, conscious awareness, usually accompanied by pretty dramatic gifts in the beginning of the renewal. And it would just happen. Nobody was there. Wasn't brought by somebody except the Holy Spirit. Somebody should collect these stories and take 5 or 6 volumes. In Denmark, in Sweden, in Africa, the Holy Spirit just fell on those who had been baptized by water, but not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit, not yet living a strong, conscious faith, which is what the baptism is all about. And so, I remembered what Jesus said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you'll know it. You know, it was Peter, Mark the Hermit. Somebody said to him, how do you know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? And he said, how does a woman know she's pregnant? She feels the life within her. That's how you know. Pretty simple. Okay. The Gospel. We ended Saturday, John 6. And for some mysterious reason, I'm going to look at it a little more closely. They skip 7:1 to the end of chapter 9, which is all Sukkoth, the great feast, where most of our Lord's teaching on this is concentrated. I don't know why they do that, but anyway. Now we have this story which goes along with Sukkoth, because Sukkoth celebrates the leading of God and his caring of God for his people as they wandered through the desert. That's us and our manna. It's right here. So now he talks about himself as a good shepherd. And there are lines in here that are beautiful. You see, I'm the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now you see the images. At night, the shepherds, maybe three or four of them together, gather all the sheep and they put them into this compound, this with a nice rock wall all around it. They hire a guy to watch the gate and they try to get some sleep. The next morning, each one of them goes out and he calls. And his own sheep know his voice and they follow him. You say, how do they know that? The older sheep teach the younger ones. This is true. Not much anymore because it's such an industrialized country now. You don't see this, but the older ones say, when you hear that sound, this is the way you go. So the little ones follow after the big ones, and they get the idea. But there's something here that I think the Lord is promising us. And I'm looking for the line. They know my voice. You see. I know mine, and mine know me. That's intimacy. That's recognizing, that's you, Jesus. This is a promise of intimacy. A promise. Well, I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. That's not the point. He wants to guide you and lead you and talk to you. How did they leave this out of the... I've been looking at it in the Greek text, and now I can't... They couldn't have taken it out of the text. There it is. I must also lead, and they will hear my voice. When all the little sheep are running out, they'll know my voice and they'll follow me. That's my sheep. It's a promise. It's a promise. So you say to the Lord, let me practice, please. Talk real loud because I'm stupid. And I'll try to get used to obeying you. And little by little, you just have to whisper. And I'll know it's you and I'll do something. Amen.